And how was it that you then left? What happened after
what
the
happened
four
was
and a
they
half
needed
years?
The house for some reason, for wax or racks or one of the women's naval organisations, and they found another place in Castle Douglas, in Nesby House, which was an old hotel. It's been reverted. It's back to a hotel again, I believe. We were visited it. And it's in Nesby House. We were there more or less 4 or 5 months. But they kept on taking children away as they were getting older. My mother would take Jenny away. Izzy was already away in a hostel in Garnet Hill. He went to a hostel in Garnet Hill. And Jenny would be with my mother. And I would be in the hostel, maybe one of the last to leave. And then I would go. My mother had rented premises in, would you believe, a people called Bernard. Minna was, it was her grandparents or her aunts and uncles, they took us in.
That's the AGR social worker.
In Ledard Road, we lived there for a while, and she wouldn't remember it. But that's where we lived. And then, a miracle. My mother got a job in Janine's.
And remind us, please, what Janine's is.
Janine's
was
the biggest and best Jewish restaurant, and I believe it was a bed sit or a hotel.
Apparently it was a hotel, and apparently they also used to have quite well-known singers would come and stay in the hotel as
right,
well.
Right, right. Well, what happened was my mother got a job there as a cook. Now, my mother was a first-class cook, but not from any menu. It was all from her head. So she was a cook there, and they loved her. And one day, Alex Silverstein came into the kitchen. I've got to meet the cook, he says. I've got to meet the cook. So Mrs. Janine said, come and meet Mrs. Metstein. Mrs. Metstein's got a bit of a problem. She's got 5 children, nowhere to live. Can you help? He had a big furniture shop in Great Western Road, burnt down incidentally. Above the shop was a huge empty flat. He says, I've got the very place for you. He said, I want someone to live in the flat because it's vulnerable. It's always empty flat. He says, I'll give you the flat, £1 a week, bring your children. And we all lived, except Lee, who stayed in London. We all lived in Great Western Road for years and years and years.
That was very fortunate.
That was a very nice fellow that gave us that flat. Mrs. Janine was instigating that, very kind of her.
So it was. And then you must have then gone to school here in Glasgow.
Yes, I went to school. Unfortunately, I had a rather bad beginning at school. I didn't persevere. It may have been my starting was bad, English, I don't know. I'm not going to make excuses for a lack of interest in education. But at the same time, I found the streets more exciting, playing with the other children. And in these days, you just go out and you played. You didn't worry and came home late at night. And the school, my first school I went to was Battlefield, which was okay, except I didn't do terribly well there. One of the teachers used to call me, when he wanted my attention, he called me, Berlin! That's what he used to call me. I know it wouldn't be allowed today, but he called me, and I was quite, you know, sort of... Anyway, I went to school there for a while, but I didn't do terribly well in my... I failed the qualifying by 1 mark, and Bob's your uncle, you're in a junior secondary school, which happened to me. Mm-hmm. So instead of getting languages or science, I got metalwork. Mm-hmm. You know, this was the dividing factor. 1 mark, is he not good enough for this? No. I was, but I didn't stick in, and the teachers weren't that careful. Yes. Then I went to St. George. Then we got the flat in Great Western Road. I went to the local school called the St. George's Road. Nice enough school, but it was a junior secondary. And a pal of mine who had 120 out of 120 went to Queen's Park or Woodside, which was the senior secondary school. So I lost out on that, but it's probably my own fault. Or maybe not enough encouragement from my mother, I don't know. She worked so hard every day.
And the system was unfair at the time. So the system was so unfair.
Well, it was a cut-and-dried arrangement. I don't even remember a teacher saying to me, this is rubbish, you know the answer to this, why are you writing that? And I can only assume that it was for nerves. And the teacher had 56 in his class. Mm-hmm. How was he going to deal with one little boy?
So once you left school then, did you get a job at once?
Yeah, I left school in June, at the end of June 19, I was 13, 14, 14, 1946. We spent the last 6 months of the war either at Bernard's house or then Great Western Road. And I was 15 on the 27th of July. And my mother said, right, a job. I had no idea what I wanted to do. So my sister and I, she took me. Lee, for some reason, was in Glasgow. She may have been coming to visit or what. She said, come on, I'll go with you to the Labour Exchange. And I went to the Labour Exchange. And she said, this boy's handy with his hands. This amount of metalwork I did at school must have been really good. And she said, I want this boy to get something. And in fact, I must tell you something that my sister and brother don't remember. I stuttered. I really had quite a bad stutter. Now, they don't recall. It means then I didn't speak when I was with their company. But I certainly stuttered. I remember that. My sister said, get this boy a job. So I got a job in an engineering place in Glasgow. Oh, it was horrendous. It was cleaning, what are these dials? They have dredges on the Clyde. Mm-hmm. And every so often, the dials get so filthy that they take them off, valves and dials, and they gave them to this company that I was with. It was horrendous. No safety nets, no nothing. And you had to just set this dial on a vise and get a bit of sandpaper and just let the vice run, and the sandpaper would take off the muck. And I said, any masks? What? Masks? You're lucky to have a cup for your tea. You know, that sort of thing. Anyway, I left after a few months. It was horrendous.
Do you remember how much you got paid for doing that?
19 and six a week. And I gave my mother sixpence. It was a pound. And I got sixpence and she got 19. I wanted the other way, but she wanted the 19 and six. So I got sixpence, and I think I spent it all in the one shop. I don't know, but I think at the wage. Anyway, then I decided that I couldn't stay there. And here we go again with Mr. Silverstein. Mm-hmm. He went in again, and my mother said to him, can you find a job for my boy? He says, how about upholstery? Now, upholstery, I was good in my hands, so mm-hmm. I quite enjoyed upholstery. And I did my 5 years apprenticeship. And my brother, Izzy, was also part of the Silverstein saga because he needed a job, and Alex Silverstein had a linoleum shop in the East End near the Barrows, and Izzy was sent there for a while tying carpets and linoleum, and he wanted to be an architect, so that followed on. It's a different story that I don't know all about. All I know is I became an upholsterer after that I left, hated it. Putting tacks in your mouth. After a while, I gave it up. So I've done so many things since.
So you didn't actually practice once you had passed your apprenticeship?
No, when I passed my apprenticeship, I decided it was time to leave that business. It was not controlled in any way. There was no safety features. In fact, there was a huge fire with three of my pals had been burned in John, what's the name of that street, near the Clyde. There was a big fire, an upholstery fire. The windows were all bad, and these guys were burnt to death. And it was just like the way we were. There was straw everywhere. There was nobody swept up. And so I said, no.
And quite rightly so. Did you find a cleaner job after that?
I found a cleaner job. I must have found lots of other jobs, because at 15, it was by that time I was 20-something-1. And 21, oh my God, what did I do then? So many things.
Did you find that your background, you mentioned being called Berlin at school, did you find that your Jewish background held you back or
nobody
made a difference?
Nobody knew what Jewish meant. Nobody had, no one ever, the teacher never once realised that here was a boy sitting in the back of the class who had gone through some sort of trauma. Maybe we'll get him to speak. Not a word. He never, apart from the fact he knew where I came from, that was all. No one mentioned Jewish or anything.
And once you were at work, did it make any difference?
Not at all, except there were some Jewish upholsterers there. Upholstery seemed to have been quite a thing. Tailor, upholstery, furriers, jewellers, and there were a lot of Jewish workers. Three of them were burned.
So what did you do for socialising then? So you're a young man of 21.
In the West End of Glasgow.
In the West End of Glasgow.
There was nothing because the West End of Glasgow was inhabited by some very rich Jewish people. The West End was, at that time, the area. And if I wanted anything to do with Jewish people, I had to go to Turriff Street and play badminton or table tennis there, which I did. And I'd also learned my bar mitzvah in Turriff Street. But that was it. There was no, apart from me playing in the street and playing snooker and football, the local people, there was no, played badminton and all that, but mostly mixing with non-Jewish people.
And so what age were you when you met your wife?
Now, I played table tennis at Maccabi, and she was playing table tennis there, and we met, and we married when I was 24. So that was about 2 years. Is that what you were meaning with it? We got married at 24, and when I was 26, my son was born, Frank. And there were all sorts of jobs, lots of things I did.
Tell us a little about Turriff Street. What was that exactly?
It was a large corrugated-style shed, but there was a religious side to it because they gave classes. I had to go there for my bar mitzvah, and that's where I learned. And there was also a little hall for table tennis. And I don't remember any social events there, but the social events took place at South Portland Street.
That's where the Jewish Institute was.
The Jewish Institute. I went there as soon as I was old enough. I went to the Jewish Institute to listen to music, which was good. Harry Margolis and various other bands.
And did you
Of course, I was just going to say, and Harry Margolis is still going strong,
yeah,
and still performing.
He's amazing. I saw his documentary. It's an amazing man.
So did you feel really that you were a Glasgow boy by that time?
I was a Scottish person, yes. No question about it. Born, although the people in Glasgow thought I was quite well-spoken. You know, I was not a Glasgow boy, but I lived in Glasgow and never ever took up the accent.
Yes, but you no longer thought that you'd been German at one point, or?
No. I've just tried to forget being German. Although Margaret and I have been we went to Berlin to see my father's grave, and we saw that. But I've never been back to Germany.
So your son Frank lives in London.
Yes, he lives in London. He was an optician. He's now retired, and he's happily living in London doing nothing.
Quite right.
But everything. Everything he does is great fun, but nothing to do with work, hardly.
Sounds excellent.
Yeah.